from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yeah, okay. Well, hello, everybody. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us. Watching all sorts of shenanigans unfold across the fruited plain. Our good friend Will Chamberlain reporting from Philadelphia. We have video on our live show blog of a poll watcher who was prevented from entering a polling place. You know, it really does make you wonder, what's going on inside of They don't want people to peek into the windows. They don't want the poll watchers to stand at a distance. They don't want the poll watchers to come inside. What do you think is going on inside there? I have my suspicions, of course. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. Lines are full, so hang tight, folks. We're going to get to your calls, I promise you. But right now, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have Dr. George Barna with us. Dr. Barna, hope you're doing good today.
Yeah, things are going well, Todd.
A couple of things here. I wanted to. I'm glad we had you on the show. I was holding off on this this info until you came on the program. There are some reports out there that evangelical Christian voters may or may not have turned out in big numbers for this election. A couple of people are saying yes, there were big numbers. Others say the numbers were not as high. What are you hearing?
Well, I think it really depends on how you define evangelical. You know, I've kind of moved away from that categorization. In our research, we measure a group called the SageCons, and that stands for spiritually active, governance-engaged, conservative Christians. That's a group that gets involved in politics because they believe their faith mandates that as a follower of Christ, you be involved in every dimension of culture that you can possibly influence. And so they vote more, they're better informed, they talk about the election with other people, etc. And what we found, our preliminary post-election research now, the returns are coming in here, what we're finding is that more than 90% of them turned out. And among those who did, roughly 95% of those voted for Mr. Trump. Now, among other individuals who the media might define through their questionable polling as evangelicals, yes, I think maybe the numbers would have been down a little bit. And certainly by the exit polls, what they're showing as white evangelical voters, the vote for Donald Trump was lower than it was in 2016. But again, it's all a matter of definitions.
What are you hearing from Christian voters, evangelical Christian voters? What was the big issue that got them out on Election Day?
Well, the biggest ones we found were abortion and the economy and the court nominations, not just the Supreme Court, but all the federal courts. Those, and then add religious freedom, that would have been fourth highest on the list. So those were the big issues among our group.
There were some evangelical leaders out there, and many of them you may know. I know several of them, people like Tim Keller, Pastor Mark Dever at a very large church, Capitol Hill Baptist Church in D.C., and even some Southern Baptist leaders who were not exactly on board the Trump train. We now know that Tim Keller came out as a Democrat. He said he is a registered Democrat. I'm wondering, did any of that have any sort of an impact one way or the other on Christian voting?
It probably did. One of the things that our research is showing is that churches had very little impact on people's voting decisions in this cycle. Now, part of that, of course, is because across the country, thousands of churches were closed because of the virus, so they didn't have the same access to their people. But yeah, I mean, we know, you know, people like John Piper, Tim Keller, a few others, they certainly were mitigating against supporting President Trump. And basically, this plays into the whole narrative that I think is a better description of what's going on. This wasn't an election about personalities or parties or platforms. It's really an election about worldview. And so you've got some of those leaders who have a very different worldview than those that are maintained by most evangelicals.
To that point, I remember back in 2016, and you had come up with a list of the top 10 influencers of the evangelical vote. Many of the people on that list were not evangelical, pastors. They were media personalities. I think I made it to number 9 or 10 on your list.
Well, it's true. The question is, where do people get their information from? And what we find is that SageCons in particular have recognized that you can't trust most of the media outlets that are commonly turned to by the American people. And so what they've done is begun to put together their own media universe, a completely different set of organizations and individuals who are trying to look at things objectively, but also with an eye to biblical truth and reporting things from that particular angle. And once again, we're finding that same thing in this election, where SageCon spent very little time, next to none, actually, watching or listening to the pundits from CNN and MSNBC and the major networks, because they know that they have a very different agenda, a completely different narrative. It's not about objective reporting for those people. There's a different agenda that they've got that they're pushing. And so instead, what we found was that the conservative Christian body was looking for other people who would be more reliable.
I see. On the Liberty University newsmaker line, Dr. George Barna, barna.com is the website. You know, Dr. Barna, the pollsters have really taken a black eye over the past couple of days. What is going on with that? I mean, the polling data was really all over the place.
Well, once again, there was a major shift from 2016. We learned a lot of things in 2016 about election polling. And one of the things that a lot of places learn, particularly the media and the polls associated with those, is that you can use polls as a weapon to manipulate or to suppress vote. And so I would suggest, based on what I've been able to see and looking more carefully at a lot of those polls that were done, these were not really objective polls that were being done to inform the public. They were subjective bits of research that masqueraded as objectivity, but really they were being used for a very different end. I mean, there were a few of us that took a whole different approach to polling in this election, and we knew what was going to happen. I mean, we called basically what we've seen unfold. But that's because we recognize there are some changes that have taken place in the entire industry within the electorate as well. And so you couldn't use the same techniques. A lot of places use the same techniques and got really bad outcomes.
Dr. Barna, based on all the polling data you found, and this, if this is an unfair question to ask, just call me out on it, but based on everything you guys have seen, are you surprised by the way this election is turning out with Joe Biden apparently ahead here, or do you think that maybe there's something squirrely going on?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this a week before the election. I said, Mr. Trump will get enough votes in the appropriate states to win the Electoral College votes to be declared president. However, Joe Biden will ultimately be declared the president. Why? Because there's going to be a lot of skullduggery taking place behind the curtain. Now, how do we know that's the case? Because this is a battle of worldviews. And so you've got people on the one hand who believe in absolute moral truth. On the other side, you've got people who say, the ends justify the means. We'll do what it takes to get the outcome that we believe is right, the one that we believe is most appropriate. Doesn't really matter how people vote. What matters is who's declared the winner, and we've got a process to facilitate that. I'm absolutely convinced that the election right now is being stolen from the man who won it.
Wow. And again, it's you're right. This is about worldviews and this idea of, a couple of years ago, I wrote a book about this, how truth had become irrelevant. And it's really whatever your truth is. I think that's what we're seeing play out right now in this election is whatever your truth is. Oh, no, those people really aren't burning down the streets. Those are peaceful protesters.
Well, yeah. And so what happens in that kind of an environment is you use language, you redefine everything so that you can use language that feels comfortable to people. But now it has a different meaning. And so really what we're seeing here is the battle of those who believe in rule of law versus those who believe in the rejection of law in favor of ends justify the means. Those who believe in absolute moral truth versus those who believe in emotional sovereignty. you know, those who believe in respect for history and tradition versus those who have a burning desire for novelty and adventure and experiences. Those who believe that freedom comes with responsibility versus those who are comfortable with anarchy without conscience.
Fascinating. Well, Dr. Barner, we're going to have to leave our conversation there. Amazing stuff. Folks, you can find all their data at Barna.com. Dr. Barner, thank you.
Actually, it's not Barna.com. Oh. It's culturalresearchcenter.com.
Culturalresearchcenter.com. We will make that notation. Thank you very much, Dr. Barner.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, folks, we've got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, another story that they're just not talking about is the Republican gains in these congressional races, including California, Southern California, where a number of these races have still not been called. So the Republicans could inevitably gain up to 12, maybe 15 seats in the House of Representatives. But no, nobody wants to talk about that. And again, this goes back to the heart of the issue, as George Barna just explained. This is about a worldview election. And by the way, here's what gets me. A pastor, Tim Keller, and some of these others who are out there, these never-Trump evangelicals. You know, I think it was really disingenuous of these individuals to go out there and really question people's faith in Christ because they were supporting Donald Trump. I never could understand that. And I thought, why, how, you know, from my readings of the Bible, and I'm not a theologian, this is the view from the pew here, but I never could understand why supporting a president who defended the unborn and protected religious liberty and supported the nation of Israel, I never could understand why that made me a bad Christian. Why? I just never understood that. How is it that supporting a candidate who staunchly opposes late-term and day-of abortion, how does that make me a bad Christian? I just haven't understood that. And then you've got this one guy out there by the name of John Piper. And I'm not judging these people. They're out there judging the rest of us. And that's the whole point. Now, what's going to happen is one of these woke millennial religious websites will go out and write a story about Starnes says horrible things and attacks John Piper and Tim Keller and all these. You know, no, I'm not attacking them. I'm just finally responding to their charges. I believe it was Russell Moore from the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention who once compared any Christian who supported Donald Trump to a television evangelist who cheated with his wife in a seedy motel with a prostitute. He later apologized, but you know, nobody listens to the apologies. You know, it's out there. We know what they think of us. But again, I never could understand that. But anyway, back to Tim Keller. I'm off on a little trail here. Let's get back to the main highway. But Tim Keller, he's out there making this some sort of a moral argument when in fact it's not a moral argument for him. He's a Democrat, a registered Democrat. And the argument he was making is, well, I live in New York City, and to be effective, you know, and to facilitate change, I've got to vote Democrat because you know, I'm the lone, you know, evangelical Democrat. All right, can I just explain what a load of grade A hooey that is? Because I lived in Brooklyn, New York, which is the most liberal place in America. And if you go to the election polls right now, they should have that updated. You'll see a great sea of red in Brooklyn, New York, downtown Brooklyn, New York, a great sea of red. And if you get out your magnifying glass or just hit the zoom on your computer, you'll see a teeny tiny it's a sea of blue, a sea of blue. And if you zoom in, you'll see a tiny little speck, a little speck of red. You know who that is? That's yours truly, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, Todd Starnes, who had to vote by absentee ballot. That's me right there, the one lone Republican in that vast sea of liberals. So, Tim Keller, I don't get what you're talking about. I'm not buying what you're selling, sir. I'm not buying what you're selling. But if you want to be a Democrat, that's between you and the Lord. All right, I don't judge. But stop judging me, for crying out loud. All right, let's go to the phones here. All right, Jane in Arkansas. Jane, how are you today?
Fine. I want to find out, have you heard of the show Steve? His last name is P-I-E-C-E-N-I-K. And he has been telling that it's been taken off as fast as they go on there. But I got it on my message. It's Trump's election trap, biggest election sting, OP, in history. He watermarked all the election things that went out to vote. Have you heard about that?
Haven't heard that one, Jane. I've heard a lot of other stuff, but okay. I haven't heard that one.
If you had time, I've got it on my message saying you could hear it. If you'd rather get it off the show, I can put it on for you.
Yes, you know what? So, send us a message. If you go to the website, we've got the email there. Drop it in the email, Jane.
I can't do that. I don't have an email thing.
Oh, I see.
So I would have to put it on this radio.
We can't do that. Yeah, we don't have a lot of time left, Jane. But Jane, you know what? We'll look into it. I wrote down the guy's last name, the spelling there. So we'll get back to you on that if there's anything to that. Jane, thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Floyd. Floyd listening to us on KARN. Hi, Floyd. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, I just want to take a moment to thank you and Doc Washburn. I will not watch Fox News in my house anymore. They're just like CNN. All of my stuff comes from you and Doc Washburn, and I just want to thank y'all for y'all's service to this great country. Now, what I want to encourage everybody to do is, like Doc told me the other night, God is still in control of this. Everybody just pray and understand this will go to the Supreme Court just like it did for President Bush. Trump's going to get this. He will not be denied. And in regards to that ugly message you got from that listener from KARN, we apologize to you for that, sir. He doesn't represent all of us listeners here. And just, again, want to say thank you. As a retired United States Army combat veteran, man, I just encourage everyone to just pray and trust in our justice system on this, because this is corrupt and we're not going to stand for it.
Well, Floyd, you're very kind to say that, and we appreciate that. And, you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that we take the negative Nancys along with everybody else, and we love having a good debate. We just ask people to keep it family-friendly, because that's the way we are around here. So, Floyd, thank you for the call, and God bless you, sir, for your service to our great nation. Love to talk longer, but we got to take a break here. Hey, coming up, folks, not only your calls, our good friend Harry Hurley from WPG going to give us an update on what's happening in Philadelphia. Also, Bill Main from WDUN in Georgia, we're going to get an update from them as well. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Gotta check that out. And again, folks, with the Sharpies, don't be putting the Sharpies in the orifices. That's impolite. We'll be right back. All right, folks, a lot of you have been wondering, wait a second, where is Grace Baker? Grace has a very deep voice today. What's going on? No, that's call screener Alan. We sent Grace off to get married, and apparently that's happening this weekend, so we're very excited. Grace Baker has just graduated last summer from University of Memphis, and a great part of our radio crew here in Memphis, Tennessee, and she's marrying a good church-going fella. I think they're Presbyterian, but I don't know. Anyway, we're excited for them. It's going to be a great wedding, and we can't wait for them to get back and be a part of the radio program. So there you go. All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker Lines. As promised, our good friends, Harry Hurley, the morning show host at WPG, and Bill Main, the morning show host and boss hoss at WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Hey, Todd. Hey, Bill.
Now, Bill Main, I started with Harry last go around. I'm going to start with you because we're very curious as to what the heck is going on in Georgia. As I said earlier today on the program, there's a better shot of Tennessee beating the University of Alabama at football than Donald Trump losing Georgia.
Well, we'd like to know what the heck's going on here, too, to be quite honest with you. This is not in any way what we really anticipated it being this tight. And just checking it right now, there's just a handful of ballots that really separate the two at the moment. And as of a little while ago, they under 2,000 votes separated the two candidates, and just a handful of ballots really compared to what came in yet to be counted. Of course, one of the things that's going on now, we've got 8,200 absentee ballots remaining, and we've got about 8,900 ballots that were sent military and overseas, and they have not come back yet. And what the Secretary of State here has told us is that, yes, they will count them as long as they get here by the deadline, which is, of course, close of business today. And it'll be curious to see if that will pull it over the line. But, Todd, you know, we're talking about what's going on with the president and that race. But the other issue that's come up in its vote counting is now we have one Senate runoff, as you know, but there's a possibility we may have another one because Senator David Perdue has slipped just under the 50% mark at 49.83% of the vote right now.
So literally the fate of the Senate is going to be decided by what happens in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, we could see the runoff coming up January 5th with two races for Senate. And believe you me, and I know you know this very well, there's going to be a lot of money poured in here. They couldn't get Graham out up north of us, and now they're going to start pouring money down into the two campaigns down here to be able to get Perdue out and to make sure that Loeffler is out as well. So there's going to be a lot of money spent here. It'll be interesting to see what happens next.
And Harry, hang tight. Bill, I know where you guys are in North Georgia, all of North Georgia, including the northern Atlanta suburbs. That all went Trump. That was red. Is there shock? I mean, what are people saying there on WDUN, the great listeners of that station?
Well, everybody that's called in, some of the folks that have texted in this morning as well on the show, are just, they cannot believe with this much red in the state that this would be happening right now. And, of course, a lot of people are screaming, we've got a fraud issue. If you take a look at the mapping right around the Atlanta metro as expected, you see that's blue. Augusta is blue, Savannah is blue, and Columbus is blue, which in a way it was a little surprising to me, but we'll see how that shakes out. The rest of the state is solid red. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about a recount now, and what makes this even more frustrating, and Harry, I know you kind of alluded to this when the last time we spoke about how long this is going to take, and that is they will not be able to start a recount until next week. They have to let a week go by before they can even begin a recount.
Now, Harry, you guys have been monitoring the situation over in Philadelphia to your west. What are you hearing? What's the latest from Philly?
It's terrible. I do want to commend Bill. That was a great analysis, and I'm so concerned about that because they're going to know exactly what they need. When we were last together, I thought that Senator Perdue would hold on. He was at 50.1. I don't know how he gets back to 50 plus one vote. I think we're going to have two runoffs there, and then it will be nationalized. They spent $100 million to try to get Graham. They spent $100 million to try to get McConnell to get control of all three branches of government. They'll spend $500 million. They'll spend $1 billion, whatever they have to spend. So that everybody should hold their breath there. If we lose the president, and then those two seats on January 5th will be for everything. In terms of Pennsylvania, it's an abomination. It's just like all the major states in the battleground areas with the major cities. They dump these ballots in. They're almost 100% for Biden every time. Come on. Even in the most Democrat areas, there's got to be some votes for the other guy. Not this situation. Remember Milwaukee County, 169,000 to almost zero. Pennsylvania's dumping them in like crazy. I knew it because I knew they would not stop voting until they win. So Pennsylvania is going to go to Biden. The president will have to win it in a contest phase if he's going to win it.
Harry, this came in just about 45 minutes ago. There was a press conference in Michigan. The chairperson of the GOP there, the state GOP, saying that a county clerk caught a glitch in tabulation software. And so they had to hand count the votes. And they found out that the glitch caused 6,000 votes to go for Biden when they should have gone for Donald Trump. And the GOP's chair says that 47 other counties in Michigan used this software. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, Michigan has not even been in this, the latest round of disputes here, but we're talking about massive voter fraud across this country.
And remember, the 6,000 is 12,000, because if it's six and all of it should have gone to the other guy, that there's no plurality there. That's a 12,000 vote swing. And remember, Bill, and remember, Todd, the 24,000 votes that mysteriously popped up on a thumb drive. How does that happen? How is that votes? How is a thumb drive from Walgreens? How is that votes?
It's a great question. You know, Bill Main, when you guys were planning the election coverage there at WDUN, did y'all have any indication at all that this thing could go south? Because I am just genuinely stunned by what happened in your state.
And we are too. No, we did not at all. We knew that obviously there's going to be a runoff in the guerrilla primary, but we felt certain that it would be once again a Trump state. We also felt because of that Purdue would win. Did not realize how much support there was for John Ossoff. And, of course, he is already making speeches and getting ready to get the Vote Your Ossoff signs back out. I think they're already in play right now. But, you know, we've got a couple of things going on here. I mean, just take a look at number one. Look at that race with Purdue and Ossoff. And hey, it's okay to have a third party. That's fine. But in this case, if you're libertarian and you know your guy's not going to win, who are you going to go for between the two? I would think you would pick David Perdue, right? He's closer to your values. 2.3% go to Shane Hazel.
Yeah, that hurt.
2.3 right now would send Perdue right back into office.
Yep.
It makes no sense. And Harry, I mean, look, we were talking earlier in the show about the House, the congressional races, and that is truly the big story here. So many of these seats went to Republicans. I think at least 8 or 9 have flipped, and they're expecting double digits.
Yes.
To me, Harry, that's the true story. This really was a red wave, and they're not going to be able to go in and steal those local congressional district races. But the fraud you're able to see in those Senate races and the overall presidential vote.
Exactly. It's true. When they could do it statewide, it's a whole different ballgame. But you're right. In the more limited districts, it's a little harder to pull off what they did. And Republicans, and that's where the president, I believe, saved the country, because even if he falls short, the Senate, I hope, is saved. The House is going to be very, very close. And Nancy Pelosi is probably closer to being outed as Speaker than anything else. And remember, the national media that was wrong about everything said that Democrats would pick up 15 to 25 seats. They're going to probably lose 10, 15. It's going to be very evenly divided in the House. And just a note for the Todd Starnes universe, my Congressman Van Drew, was declared the winner about an hour ago by the Associated Press. That's huge for a lot of reasons. Number one, he switched parties in an election year, just several months really before the election. Number two, he was tied to the hip to President Trump with his comment, undying loyalty. He beat a Kennedy, so Kennedys have lost twice. First time ever, there won't be a Kennedy. And that's big news as well.
Now, I want to ask both of you this question. Harry, we'll start with Bill Main, but and then, Harry, I'll get you to follow up here. There's been a lot of concern. Congressman Jody Heiss put out a tweet yesterday, really frustrated by the lack of vocal support from Republican lawmakers in the House and the Senate. Governor Kemp has not been doing the press conferences, unlike the Democrat governor in Pennsylvania. What are you hearing, Bill Main?
Well, not a whole lot of anything, and that's been part of the problem. And I agree with you, the frustration, and I agree with Heiss, the frustration and on my side of it, and I know the people around me feel the same way. I just find it hard to believe that people within the Republican Party, and make no mistake, a lot of them don't like Donald Trump for whatever reason, jealousy or whatever it is, because
yeah.
I guess he was going to step outside the lines and they didn't want to be part of those people that got dumped out of the swamp water. But how do you justify going, look, we'll just go ahead and not support the guy. We'll make sure we lose power. We'll let this one pass us by. Why do you do that? Why do you burn down the whole forest? I just, as you can tell, I'm a little frustrated here. Let me calm down just a little bit. I'm not hearing enough, and I'm not sure that we'll hear much more. I'm really surprised that Kemp hasn't said more than he has,
Harry?
To be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think Kemp is a very big supporter of Trump. I want to completely agree with the distinguished gentleman from Georgia, Bill, insofar as not nearly enough Republicans are stepping up. And the president stepped up for them, darn it. And let me tell you another thing. I'm on text messages 24/7 with a lot of key people. They are furious right now with my friend, my former governor, Chris Christie, who threw President Trump under the bus today. And let's be real about this on the Todd Starn Show. President Trump is saying every legal vote must be counted. The only difference, Biden is, they're not criticizing Biden. They're criticizing their own president of their own party. Biden is saying every vote must count. He means all these illegal votes that are happening all over the place, Sharpies and these harvest dumps and the whole thing. And we've heard some really amazing things that are going to start coming out about dead people voting in big numbers, people that move that are voting. This stuff is going to start to add up quite a bit, but there aren't enough Republicans stepping up for President Trump. Good for Lindsey Graham. Not only did he step up, but he threw $500,000 to the president's legal defense fund that he's going to need a lot of help with, because I think he should fight, even though it looks so daunting. I think he should fight because all of this has to be uncovered so it can never happen again.
Yeah, no, guys, I'm with you. By the way, this coming in from Breaking 911, the Twitter feed that I follow. Multiple reports claim if Trump loses, he is considering launching a Trump TV network to fight Fox News and plans to take Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and others with him.
Well, this Trump media thing is no joke. Yeah, this Trump media thing is no joke. It could happen.
Guys, it's all there. I mean, the foundation was created with the Trump TV segments they were doing. You know, they had their own Facebook live streams. I mean, this may not be your, you know, regular cable news channel, but certainly some sort of a digital platform is coming.
Right, because as you know, clearance is very tough to get. Rush Limbaugh tried. That's why he stopped his TV show. Getting the clearance, the Democrats control so much, it's very tough to get that. But that would be viable no matter how it would be done, digital or otherwise.
Well, let's hope that he does do that, but it's 4 years from now and not in January. So,
is it ridiculous to say if the president ultimately just accepts that this was stolen, it's not meant to be, that he would be a candidate in 2024?
I don't know about that. I mean, he would be, what, 70? Well, he would
same
be
age
in his
as Biden.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Well, he could be. I mean, Biden's not going to be in there long, guys.
I agree.
No, not at all. And he's always said he's going to run for one term. I don't think he'll finish his first term.
Hey, by the way, guys, I was very happy to hear my friend Governor Murphy say today that we have to get back to using voting machines again. We have to stop this paper ballot stuff. We all knew what this was going to be like. Maybe it's worse than some people thought. It's not worse than I thought. This is so fraught and so easy to have this massive amount of fraud going on. We've got to get back to one person, one vote, at a precinct, that it's you, that you sign in. This is crazy what's going on right now.
Guys, got to cut in here, or else Bill Maine, I'm going to overflow into one of your commercial breaks. So we've got to wrap it up here, fellas. Harry Hurley, WPG Atlantic City, Bill Maine, WDUN Gainesville, Georgia. Guys, thanks for the great insight.
See you, Todd.
Sure,
see you, Bill.
All right, good, guys. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. By the way, Monday, we're going to be broadcasting from our brand new studios at Liberty University. That's going to be a lot of fun. Avery, turn your microphone on. Need to ask you a question.
Yes, sir. What you got?
So I'm very curious about this. You and Grace and I think some of the others around the building have been talking about this new series on Disney, the musical series called Mandolin.
Nope, Mandalorian.
Is that like a bluegrass group? What is this?
No, it is not a bluegrass group.
Oh, I see. Anybody play the banjo in the group?
Well, in the soundtrack, there's some banjo. I'll give you that. But it's a Star Wars series that has come out. It came out last year, and it took the entire Star Wars community by storm.
I see. Oh, as a matter of fact, apparently Alan, our new our fill-in call screener, is a big fan. So because he just stormed out of the control room, he said, "I quit." What?
Good for you, Alan. Good for you.
I mean, you never know around here. But, you know, it's honestly, though, I suspect people are going to be escaping to movies or TV just to get away from the politics of it all, because there's a little bit of anxiety out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, no matter what political party you're identifying with, it's politics is stressful all the time. So, I mean, yeah, there's you know, like these new series like The Mandalorian coming out. A lot of people are talking about it. And also, if you want to hear me talk about it, I am going to be discussing the latest episode that came out today on my podcast, The Informative Nerd Burrito. Me and my co-host are going to be talking about the latest episode in our next episode that will be coming out next Tuesday.
It's a fine podcast you do, by the way. And by the way, we're checking the numbers. You're getting a nice audience there, Avery.
Yeah, we are. I'm really excited. And thank you to any of you guys that are listening to the Todd Starnes Show right now who have checked out my podcast and are loyal listeners. I really appreciate it. It feels really weird to, you know, that myself being a 19-year-old kid has a semi-successful podcast, I guess, right now for only having a few episodes under my belt. So, again, I'm just really appreciative of it. And if you want to check us out, we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, basically wherever you can find your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Informative Nerd Burrito Pod and on Twitter at Info Nerd Burrito. And then also you can like us on Facebook and just search Informative Nerd Burrito in the search bar and you'll be able to find us.
You just took over the whole show here. What?
Listen, Todd, you got to plug wherever you can. You know that better than anyone.
Good stuff. All right, Avery, get out there. Have a great weekend. Hey, folks, want to thank all of our team here at the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We've got Claire and Grace and the band that just burst into the to the programming. Alan, JP, all of you guys, get out there. Folks, have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend. Jeez, Lou. Can't hear anything.